You know, sometimes I wish God was more direct in his instructions to us. Sometimes I wish there was a book of the Bible written especially just to husbands. The word husband or groom is mentioned over 200 times in the Bible, and sometimes I wish God had put them just all together in one place so we could turn to that one place and know what he wanted us to be as a husband. I wish he'd sometimes done the same thing for wives. There's over 400 verses in the Bible that talk about brides or wives, and sometimes I wish God had just put them all together in one place. Same thing for fathers. I don't know how many times the word fathers are mentioned in the Bible. And same thing about mothers. I don't know how many times that word is mentioned, but wouldn't it have been nice if God just put them all together in one place and a mom could turn to one book in the Bible and find out everything that God wanted her to know to be a mom. But then I thought to myself, if God made it that easy, it probably wouldn't stick. He spread them throughout the Bible so that we have to search for them and notice when we've come across them, and that way remember them and put them into practice. This morning, I have a charge that I want to deliver to all the moms. I have some instructions that I want to give you. And to do that, I want to look at five different mothers that are mentioned in the Bible, all in different stages of motherhood. And each of those mothers teaches something very specific about what a mom should be. And to all the moms, I would encourage you to be a mom like this. To all the dads that are here today, I want to encourage you to help your wife, to help the mother of your children to be a mom like this. And if you're a child here today and have or have had a mother like I'm going to talk about this morning, then you praise God and thank God for the mom that he gave you. Now, I'll tell you before I start, one thing I'm not going to mention this morning that I think plays a large role in what a mom should be is prayer. And I'm going to devote the whole service tonight to talk about that. But I want to, again, look at five traits of five different moms in the Bible and just draw a lesson from each of their lives for us on Mother's Day today. The first one is the mother that the ladies are going to be studying on Tuesday, Hannah. And I want to look at Hannah when she was a mother-to-be. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11, and she, Hannah, vowed a vow and said, O Lord God of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me, and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Hannah was a member of the tribe of Ephraim. Her husband was named Elkanah. He had two wives, Hannah and a lady named Pinnah. Pinnah had children, but Hannah had none. And the Bible says, and her adversary, the devil, also perverted her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. They went to the temple on a yearly basis. And on this occasion, when Hannah went to the temple, she prayed. And she prayed a prayer, that prayer that we just read in verse 11. And she prayed, Lord, look on me. Don't forget me. Remember me. Give me a little boy. And if you give me a little boy, I'll give him back to you. Well, you that know the story know that Hannah had a little boy. That little boy's name was Samuel. And Samuel was given by his mother back to the Lord when he was a little boy. He served Eli the priest and then became the priest and the prophet in Israel. And so the lesson that we can learn from this mother-to-be, this little mother called Hannah, is to realize, and every mother should realize, every dad should realize this, that every child, every little boy, every little girl is a gift from God. And that little boy and that little girl belong to him. Sometimes we take children for granted. They become commonplace in our world. I think if we could go back and stand in the Garden of Eden and watch as God took the dust of the ground and formed that dust into Adam and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and watch as Adam became a living soul, we would just have to stand back and say, wow, what a miracle from God. If we could stand in the Garden of Eden when God put Adam to sleep and took a piece of his rib and the flesh around thereof and then woke Adam up and used that piece of flesh to make Eve, we would say, wow, what a miracle of God. The creative act of God, taking the dust of the ground to make a man, taking a piece of that man and making a woman. What a creative, wonderful, mighty act of God. Well, I want to tell you something this morning. Every time a little child child is born, it's just as much a miracle of God as the miracle that God performed when he made Adam and when he made Eve. Every little baby that's born is just as much a work of God as the work that God did when he created Adam and Eve. Just as much as the act of creation was a wonderful thing, every little baby that's born is a work of God and a gift from God and should be treasured and nurtured as a gift from God. That's why I believe abortion is sin. It's a sin to kill an unborn baby because that unborn baby is a gift from God. I don't believe any conception happens by accident. I believe every conception of every child is a gift from the Almighty God that he's given to mankind. And when we destroy that life, we are saying that God doesn't know what he's doing. When we destroy that life, we are killing a gift from God. That's why sometimes I almost forget what it is to be a Christian when it comes to child abuse. When I hear about children being abused, I forget that God hates the sin but loves the sinner. I forget what it is to have forgiveness in my heart for those that abuse children. And we need to remember that every child, you say, preacher, you don't know my kid. Hey, I have one just like that. It's not my kid, it's a grandkid. At times, you know, we had the first one. He was a pretty good kid. When the second one came along, I don't know where he came from. I teased Chantel. I think he has a different dad because he didn't come from my loins. Well, he did. And at times, he tries your patience. He tries mine. But I love him. And if anybody ever came after him, they'd have a grandpa to deal with. Every one of them is a gift from God that needs to be treasured. Now, let me ask you something real quick. It's not part of my message. When do we quit becoming a gift to God? How old does a person become when he no longer is a gift of God? I mean, does it when he turns 4? When he turns 8? When he turns 13? Where's Jameson? When he turns 13? Does he quit becoming a gift of God? I'll tell you this morning, we never, ever quit becoming a gift of God. That's why the way we treat each other is important to God. That's why the way we talk to each other and the way we act toward each other, if we mistreat another person, we are mistreating a gift from God. So every mother, every dad, every person here today needs to realize that every child is a gift from God. I want to move to the next mother quickly. Manoah's wife, a mother-to-be, a mother pregnant with child. Hannah was a wannabe mother. She was praying to get pregnant. Manoah's wife, we don't know her name, was already pregnant. An angel came to her and said, Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Manoah was of the tribe of Dan. His wife, who was pregnant, was visited by an angel and given this message. She said in verse 12, "Now let thy words come to pass." And during her pregnancy, she obeyed the angel. She drank no wine or strong drink. She ate no unclean thing. She had a little boy. They named him Samson. He was used of God to deliver his people. Every mother, every dad should realize that not only is every child a gift from God, but every child is born for a purpose. God has a reason for bringing every life into this world. God wants to use that child in his kingdom. Our responsibility as parents is to help that child find God's plan for their life and then get to it. Our responsibility as moms and dads is to nurture that child in the Lord, help them find God's plan for their life, and help them get busy accomplishing that plan. Can you imagine how sad and how different the Bible would have been in the story of Samson if Samson's mother had disobeyed God, had done things during her pregnancy that disqualified her son from being that Nazarite, from being that person that God wanted to use to deliver his children? Can you imagine how different the story of Israel wouldn't have been if Samson's mom wasn't obedient to God and did something that disqualified Samson from doing what God wanted him to do? And then I can't help but think, if parents today often, sometimes, do things that might disqualify their child from doing what God wants them to do. You say, "Preacher, how can I do that? How can I do something that would disqualify my child from doing what God wants him to do?" You can do that by your disobedience. You can do that by not being the type of mom and dad that God wants you to be. You need to be the right kind of example. I'm going to talk about it at the end of my message when it comes to faith. But your child is watching you. They are patterning their life on what you do. If Samson's mom had not been the right kind of mom, then Samson wouldn't have been the man that he was. So every child is a gift from God. Every child is born with a purpose given to them by God. The third mom I direct your attention to today is Jochebed. She, again, Hannah was a mom that wanted to be Manoah's wife. Samson's mother was already pregnant. And now Jochebed, she was a mother just starting out. She had a little boy. She was of the house of Levi. Her husband's name was Amram. They had a little boy whose name was Moses. Moses was born in Egypt when his mom and dad were slaves in Egypt. The decree from Pharaoh is that every little boy should be killed. Every little boy should be thrown into the Nile River. Well, Jochebed hid her little baby Moses. Hid him in the house for 3 months. Hid him as long as she could. And when she could no longer hide him, we read in the book of Exodus how she made a little ark of bulrushes and put him in the river. And we know the story that one of the princes of Egypt found her, and God worked it out so Jochebed could raise her own son for the princess. But here's a lesson that we get from Jochebed. Every mother should realize, every dad should realize that not only is every child a gift from God, not only is every child born with a purpose from God, every child needs to be protected from the one who wants to destroy that purpose. Every child, excuse me, every child needs to be protected from Satan. Because Satan's desire is to come into that life, the life of that child, and destroy the purpose that God made that child for. We need to hide our children from Satan, hide our children from the world as long as we can. Now, I know when I say that, there's going to be some people that say, "Oh no, that will warp them." We need to let our children experience the world so they can get experience with the world, so they can make their own choices, and so they can live the kind of life, that full life that every person deserves. Okay, so if that's how you're thinking, let me just ask you something. If you had a little four-year-old, that's how old Arnie is, 4 years old. You had a little four-year-old. Would you let him go to a construction site where they were building a multi-story building and walk on the open beams 4 stories up? Would you? I mean, he needs to experience life. He needs to know what it is if you fall. No, you wouldn't do that. Would you, if you had a little four-year-old, would you let him walk into a nuclear reactor and mess around with the buttons? Huh? Would you? You're kind of dumb if you would. I don't mean to offend anybody on Mother's Day. I mean, would you take him to a zoo and say, "Hey, you need to experience the world," and throw him in the den with the cage with the lions or the tigers or the bears? No. I mean, any parent that does that, we'd think, man, they're not much of a parent. We protect our children from danger. It's all right for mom and dad to decide what their little ones watch on TV. Don't let the world tell you that they have the right to decide for themselves. You have the right to decide what they watch on TV. They're eating at your table. They got your feet under your table. They're eating your food. You decide. Don't let them decide. Don't let the world tell you how to decide what they watch on TV. You decide. You decide what kind of music they listen to. You decide what kind of books they read. You decide what kind of movies they watch and what kind of video games they play. You decide, not them, not the world, not Satan. Because I guarantee you today, Satan has no greater desire than to get a hold of your child and to destroy their life and the purpose that God has made them for. And we need to keep them out of the world and the world out of them as long as we can. And you say, preacher, we'll stunt them. Well, then go ahead and stunt them. You're not going to stunt them. You're going to raise kids for God. You decide. Every child is a gift from God. Every child is born with a purpose. Every child needs to be protected. Number four, I direct your attention to another mother. The mother of John Mark, her name was Mary. I put her under the category of a determined mother. I want to read five verses to you real quick. Acts chapter 12, verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Acts 12, 25. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Acts 13, 5. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John to their minister. Acts 13, 13. Now, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Persia and Pamphylia, and John Mark, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. 2 Timothy 4, 11. Paul writes, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me in the ministry. Here's a mom, Mary, John Mark's mother, who realized that every child was a gift from God, who realized that every child is born with a purpose, who realized that her child needs to be protected from Satan. She did that. She took him to church. She read him the Bible. She introduced him to Jesus Christ. And again, the greatest gift, as Debbie mentioned a minute ago, the greatest gift that a mother can give to a child is her salvation, and then to pass that salvation onto her child. Mary did that. She told John Mark about Jesus. She told John Mark that he was a sinner. She told John Mark that he needed to receive the Savior. John Mark did that. He did that. And he traveled with Paul and Barnabas. He traveled with them on their first missionary journey. But things got kind of hard. And this mother that was so proud to know that her son was traveling with these two missionaries one day was surprised when he showed up at home. And she said to her son, "Son, what are you doing here? Why are you home? I thought you were traveling with Paul and Barnabas." And he said, "Mom, it got too hard. It got too hard. I couldn't take it. I missed you. I missed home. I had to quit. I had to come home." I say to the moms and dads that are here today, if you have a child that has messed up in some way, don't give up on them. Don't give up on them. They may have gone into sin. They may have dishonored you. They may have quit. But don't you quit on them. They are still a gift from God. They were still born with a purpose. They still need to be protected from the world. John Mark quit. He left Paul and Barnabas. He came back home. But his mother didn't give up on him. She prayed for him. She nurtured him. And at the end of his life, when Paul was writing, and by the way, Paul got upset when he and Barnabas got ready to go on the second missionary journey. You know what split them up? Whether they should take John Mark with them on the second journey. Barnabas wanted to. Paul said, "No, we're not taking him. He's a quitter. We're not taking him." And yet at the end of his life, we read that verse from 2 Timothy. Paul said, "Timothy, hey, bring John Mark with you. Bring John Mark with you because he's profitable to me." Here was a mom who did not give up on her child. Even though that child messed up, even though that child quit, even though that child walked away from that opportunity he had to travel with Paul and Barnabas, Mary didn't quit. And neither should we. And then number five, quickly, we come to the two moms that we read about in our scripture reading, a grandmother and a mom. Lois and Eunice, Timothy's grandmother, Timothy's mother. Paul says, Timothy, I pray for you night and day. I want to see you because I remember the faith, the real, genuine faith that's in you, which was first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. Every mother needs to realize, every dad needs to realize, every person here needs to realize that every child is a gift from God. Every child is born with a purpose. Every child needs to be protected. Every child has the possibility of messing up. But every child needs to know that God can be trusted. That's what faith is, trusting God. Every child needs to know that God can be believed. Every child needs to know that God will keep his word. Every child needs to know that God will do exactly what he says. Every child needs to see faith operating in mom and operating in dad. And just like Paul said about Timothy, I see your faith, the same faith that I saw in your grandmother and in your mom. Do you know that your faith is going to show up in your kids? The Bible says faith without works is dead. They need to see the works of your faith in your life, because that's the faith they're going to have. Well, I know with time as they live their life apart from home and apart from dad that they'll develop their own faith, but the basis of their faith, the faith that they're going to start with, comes from their mom, comes from their dad. And so we need to exhibit that faith so that our kids can see it. That faith should cause us to receive Christ as our Savior, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, is a gift of God. It's hard for a child to get saved when mom and dad isn't. It's hard for a child to trust Jesus when mom and dad doesn't. It's hard for a child to give their life to the Lord when mom and dad doesn't. But when that child can look at mom and dad and see mom and dad serving God, when that child can look at mom and dad and see mom and dad trusting Christ for heaven, when that child can look at mom and dad and see them living their life according to this book, they have so much of a better chance to live the life that God wants them to live. So to every mom, realize, and to every dad, I'm not just preaching to the moms, I'm preaching to myself this morning. Every child's a gift from God. Every child's born with a purpose. Every child needs to be protected from Satan and the world. Yeah, they may mess up, but we're to never give up on them. They need to see our faith, because that's the faith they're going to have. If you're here today and you have a mom like that, you have a dad like that, thank God. Thank God. If you're a mom, if you're a dad, you be one like that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these examples of mothers that you give us in the Bible. I pray that we would be moms and we would be dads just like them. That we realize that every little one that comes into this world is a gift from you. They come with a purpose. They come with a plan. They need to be protected. They need to be nurtured. They need to see our faith. And I pray for those that might be here this morning that have never received Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're sinners. The Bible says we're all sinners. The Bible says there's a penalty for that sin to be separated from God. But the Bible also tells us that when Jesus went to Calvary, he paid the penalty that we owe, able to offer to every person the gift of life. And I pray if there's just one person here this morning that's never received that gift, I can't think of a better day than Mother's Day to take the gift of eternal life that Jesus offers to every person. And so I pray, Father, you bless this invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. For those that need Christ, help them to receive him. For Christians that are here, that there's something in our life that shouldn't be, help us to make some holy vows this morning to be the kind of Christian that you want us to be. Just bless this time of invitation. I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.